Hello, everybody. This is Jason Peebles, the founder and president of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another victory video designed to help you grow strong in Christ. I am so excited about today's message because it's on discovering who you are in Christ. That is your self-image in Christ. In a moment, we'll get right to that. Let me just say a great big thank you to those of you who are supporting your missionary. You know, we're the home office for missionaries all over the world, but they all have one thing in common. And that's that they can't operate without the prayer cover and the support of their sponsors and their friends, people just like you. So if you're supporting your missionary, let me just say thank you very much. By the way, if you're a missionary watching this and you're in need of a dependable home office, then you have found the right place. We do a variety of services for our missionaries. You know, missionaries need all kinds of things every single month to keep them on the field. We send receipts to their donors. We send reports to the missionary. We put the money in the bank. We do all kinds of things that keeps them out there. Plus, our missionaries, all of them, have a 24/7 login portal that they can access with a password and track all their business, stay in contact with their friends, etc. So if you're a missionary in need of a dependable home office, simply go to our website, and I'm going to put the address across the screen, and then click on the missionary agency section, and all the details are there and how you can contact us. All right, let's turn our attention for a few moments to this powerful subject of discovering who you are in Christ. Now, you know, the world talks about self-image, and I think we can understand that. The Bible doesn't use the word self-image or the phrase self-image, but it talks about identity, or that is seeing yourself in Christ. Let me explain that before we look at this foundational passage out of Ephesians. You know, we're all raised where we start getting input. I mean, even from the day we're born, we get input from what mom says, dad says, the environment says, how we're treated, how we feel. All that begins to go inside and formulate a self-image. And unfortunately, a lot of people are raised in an environment where they have a low self-image. You can't do it. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Or even worse, this bullying spirit that seems to be prevalent in our society today, where other children might say to them, you're ugly, you're stupid, and on it goes. And so a self-image begins to form. And as we're going to see in a moment, your self-image operates very much like an autopilot. In other words, it begins to steer your life. Now watch this. Once you become a Christian, you're placed in Christ. And the Bible says that we need to put on a new identity, a new self-image, if you will, and that's begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, what God says about us, and it completely reprograms our identity and our self-image, and it flies your life in a different direction. Now, let me give you the foundational scripture. There are a lot of good scriptures, but this is the one I've chosen to go to. That's out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Listen to this. Paul says that you put off concerning the old life and the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, that old life, or the way he calls it, the old man, he's using a metaphor there, the old life or the old person. He says, put it off. And listen to this, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So change the way you think about your identity, about your life, about who you are. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Now there it is, the new identity, the new self-image, if you will. The new perspective of the way you see yourself, you see your life, and you see your future. He says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, once you come to Christ, on the inside, a change takes place immediately. Now, you may not be aware of it yet in your mind, but according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit enters and you become a new creation. You're born again, or changes take place on the inside. Now, it's sad that most Christians never get their mind in line with what God's done in the Spirit. But that's called the renewing process. So as you begin to learn about the Word, and we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to give you some keys on how to reprogram your self-image. I'm going to give you some keys for discovering who you are in Christ, not who you are based on what your dad said, your mom said, some group at school said, or even what you think about yourself based on your environment or television, you're going to begin to change and discover who you are in Christ and what God says. And I tell you, it'll absolutely give you the victory. Now, you know, when I talk about this whole idea of self-image or identity, I think of an autopilot. Now, I'm a pilot. I've been a pilot for many years, and I've crisscrossed the United States hundreds of times, flown across the Gulf of Mexico to deliver medical supplies, and on you go. And so I understand that an autopilot is a critical piece of equipment. Now, watch this. Your life has an autopilot. Did you know that? And that autopilot, just like in an airplane, you can program coordinates. It's really based by latitude and longitude, and today with GPS, it's fairly automatic. You just punch in where you are, where you want to go, and it begins to calculate a course. That's an autopilot. And I'll tell you, an autopilot is a safety issue for pilots, and I very well know that, having used it many, many times. Now, spiritually speaking, in your life, your self-image or your identity, the way you think about yourself, the way you see yourself, operates just like an autopilot. I really want you to get this. You've got an autopilot in your life. Now, maybe you've not known about it, but now you know about it. And it's been programmed by other people. Your autopilot has been programmed by other groups. As I said earlier, this whole bullying spirit that seems to be prevalent in our schools today. You know, other children, if you're not careful, other people have programmed you. But you know what? You can absolutely undo that. It's like, for instance, if I was a pilot and I was on board an airplane and I accidentally programmed the wrong direction, that autopilot is going to turn the plane to that direction. It doesn't matter where I intend to go. So intentions are one thing, but what you've programmed in are another. And so you've got to start programming. He says in verse 23, Ephesians 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what are we supposed to be renewing ourselves to? Now, this is a pivotal point in the study, so don't miss this. You need to begin to understand what God's Word says about who you are in Christ. That's the key. Not according to this person, according to that person, according to my environment. I've got to start reprogramming my mind to who I am, my identity, my self-image, my autopilot, if you will, to what God's Word says I am in Christ. That's the key. Now, same book, Ephesians, and I'm backing up to chapter 1. And let me just say this. You really need to study Ephesians 1. I can't emphasize it enough. Take the time to mark these verses I'm about to highlight for you. And every time you see the phrase, watch this, in Christ, in Him, or some version of that, in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved, referring to Christ, in Christ, through Him, through Christ, all the in Him, through Him phrases, you mark those because guess what? That's telling you something about your new identity. And as you mark those verses, and Ephesians chapter 1 is a great place to start because it is just filled with the phrases in Christ. Once you start marking these, you'll wonder, how did I ever miss this? And you'll begin to reprogram your self-image. Now, let me just pause before we look at Ephesians 1 in some specifics. We have a free study guide, absolutely free. And if you don't know about this, you need to know about it. We have a whole section on our website with free Bible studies. And one of them is on this subject of discovering who you are in Christ. I encourage you to, after you watch the video, go to the website, find the free study guide section, and then print this out. Find this one on discovering who you are in Christ. It goes through so much more than I'll be able to cover in this short video, but these little study guides are awesome. And we have a whole audio series, absolutely free, on our website as well. If you have Wi-Fi, of course, you just hook up and you can live stream it and it's not going to use your data. Or if you're in a place where you don't have Wi-Fi, then just quickly download it. It's very fast and then you can listen at a later time. But we've got some awesome tools that will take you a lot further on this study of self-image, on the study of who you are in Christ. We've got a number of audio sets on that. In fact, we've got over 400 hours of audio sets. So if you've not discovered that part of our website, go there and it'll be a blessing to you. Absolutely free. All right, Ephesians 1, Let me just quickly hit some of these so you begin to catch the idea, and then you can study it out on your own. Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," watch this, "blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." There's the phrase. You circle that, in Christ. What did he just say? He said we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Already done. You don't have to go get it. Already done. Well, if you don't know about it, then it's hard to have faith in it. But once you read that and you go like, wow, I wonder what those spiritual blessings are. And you begin to study those out, you find out fantastic blessings that we have. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us because we're in Christ. Why is the key in Christ? Because God is not measuring you now based on whether you're good enough, that you obeyed well enough. God is not measuring you on how righteous you are. That's Old Covenant, Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant. We have faith in what Jesus has done, His righteousness, His obedience, and we've been placed in Him because of our faith in Him. It's called salvation. That's called being put into Christ. You can say it in a number of ways, being born again. And so now God says, I'm going to bless you because you're in Christ, not because you're in your own works and you're good enough and you. It's now all about, I'm blessing you because of what Jesus has done. Do you see that? He goes on in verse 6, he says, to the praise of His glory, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved, referring to Christ. So that's in Christ. In Christ, you are accepted. I am accepted. I'm not rejected. I'm part of the in group. And so if you were in school situation where a group rejected or made you feel like you're not accepted, well, you know what? Just forget that and go with what God says. You're accepted in the Beloved according to verse 6, Ephesians 1, verse 6. Verse 7 says, in Him. There's the phrase again. Mark it. In Him. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So all of a sudden, in Him, I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I have redemption, meaning I've been bought back. I no longer am a slave to the world. God's bought me back. If we can use that metaphor, He's purchased us back. We're spiritually blessed in every way possible. And when you begin to study those blessings out, you'll be absolutely amazed. A little clue. You can go to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and you can find all these blessings that we could have had if we had been perfectly obedient. But we're not perfectly obedient. But guess what? In Christ, who was perfectly obedient, we qualify for Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Just blessing after blessing after blessing that we qualify for. All right, skipping a little bit further, it says in verses 8 and 9, He has abounded towards us in all wisdom. So in Christ, we have wisdom. What does that mean? It means that when I run up against a problem or you run up against a problem, we can turn to God and say, Father, would you show me the plan? Give me your wisdom. Show me what to do. And because He's now viewing you in Christ, He's going to pour it on. It's what it says in James chapter 1, verse 5. He will give it to us liberally. Verse 11, in Him. Well, there's the phrase again. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. Basically what that means is in Christ you have a destiny. In Christ you have a purpose, a plan. You're now part of the big picture. You're not just some little isolated spot on the map over here that nobody knows about. You now are part of this destiny. Get your mind renewed to it. So do you begin to see what we're doing? We're going through Ephesians 1 every time it says in Him, in Christ, in the Beloved. We mark that and we're discovering something about our identity, our self-image, that we need to start renewing our mind to. Remember the autopilot? As you begin to program, hey, I'm blessed with all spiritual. Hey, I have an inheritance. Hey, I have wisdom. All of a sudden, your life begins to turn in the direction that God wants you to go instead of letting your environment, what other people say, be your measure. They are not your measure. Forget them. Go with what God says. Now, we could just go on and on. In fact, in verse 13, it says, in whom after you trusted, in whom, there it is, in whom, referring to Christ. So, in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved, you begin to see it. It says, we have been granted the Holy Spirit of promise. So, you've got the Holy Spirit on board. You have the master programmer that can begin to lead you and guide you. What a powerful, powerful blessing that we have. It just goes on and on. I wish we had time. Now, Ephesians is not the only place, but Ephesians 1, I think, is a great place to start. In fact, that's where I would encourage you to go, is Ephesians 1. And in your Bible, just start marking every phrase in Christ or any version of that. Now, before we close, I want to give you three quick keys. You know, I'm all about keys. I realize that it's all about Jesus Christ, but people really appreciate having a key, a handle that they can get hold of, and that will bring them closer to Christ. So let me give you three keys for your new identity, your new self-image, discovering who you are in Christ. Number one, and I've been saying this over and over, but I think the first key is to mark every place that you see the phrase, in Christ, in Him, in whom. Any version of that. So the starting point for this new self-image that God wants you to get into, this new direction, is get your pen and in your Bible, go to Ephesians 1, as I said, and start marking every one of those phrases. Why? Because that's a clue to your new identity. And as I said, every part of the New Testament will tell you something about that. But Ephesians 1 is a great place to start. Now, key number two, very important. Start seeing yourself the way God sees you. That is so important. No longer allow yourself to see yourself based on what mom said or dad said or the group that bullied you said or the group that saw you make a mistake and fail and they don't ever want you to forget that. Start seeing yourself on what God says. See yourself. That's part of that renewing process. You remember chapter 4? Same book, Ephesians 4, we read it right off the bat. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Put on, take on that new image, that new self-image, that new identity. How? Start seeing it. So you see yourself blessed. If you see yourself failing, and we all have these images sometimes that just run through our head, you see something that's contrary to what God's saying, just pull it down, and that would be a whole nother teaching, just pull it down. Get rid of it and replace it. Force yourself to see yourself in this new light that God's saying. So you're going to use your imagination. You're going to imagine yourself blessed. You're going to imagine yourself succeeding at school or business or whatever it is that God's told you to do. I imagine myself being successful as a missionary if that's God's call in my life. You begin to see that. Number three, third key. There are many keys, but these will get you started. Remember, number one, you're going to mark all the phrases. Number two, start seeing it. Use your imagination in the right way. And number three, speak in line with your new identity. Speak in line. Your words are so important. So you're not going to go around any longer saying, I'm no good. You're not going to start repeating all this negative input that you've had through the years. You're going to catch yourself. And so if you catch yourself saying something that's not in line with God, like, it just seems like I'm jinxed. No. The Word says, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. So you begin to replace the negative with the positive of what God says about you. Man, I just do not feel forgiven for what happened 2 years ago. No. I'm catching that. I'm going to speak in line with my new identity. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Him I'm forgiven. Do you see that? So you begin to speak. You see it and you speak it. You see it and you speak it. And that is how you're programming this autopilot system, this God-given autopilot system. The New Testament calls it putting on the new man. And I'm trying to use illustrations that will help you get the concept. This is your autopilot system that God's given you to fly your life in the direction that God wants you to go. So use those three keys and they will absolutely revolutionize your life. All right, well, I hope today's study has been a blessing to you. I believe it has. This is Jason Peebles reminding you to starve your doubts, feed your faith, and follow God's plan for your life.